Welcome to the Single to Soulmate podcast. My name is Tanya Alberti, and I am a soulmate manifestation expert, relationship coach, and spiritual guide and mentor. My sole purpose in life is to help you ditch the dating bullshit and finally call in your sacred union. So if you are ready to be done, I mean really done, you are over it, you are done having your heart broken time after time again, then you have come to the right place, my friend. My goal with this podcast is to help you step into an awareness that not only are you a perfect divine soul, wholly worthy of your heart's desires, but that you 100% create your own reality. You absolutely can manifest a one-of-a-kind love. Think of our weekly time together as your go-to for tools, spiritual growth, relationship advice, and manifesting magic. I'm here to give you the tips, the strategies, the insight, and the teachings that you need in order to truly embrace your worth and manifest that mind-blowing connection with the partner of your dreams. Your perfect person is out there waiting for you, I promise. Thank you so much for listening in, and let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm so really grateful that you're here today. Today, we're carrying on a conversation around toxic relationships, and we're talking about childhood wounds and the wounds we receive from the relationships with our caregivers. And according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration, more than two-thirds of all children have experienced some form of trauma. And trauma isn't exactly what everyone perceives it to be. Some people believe trauma is, you know, abuse. So they're like, well, I wasn't abused, so I don't have childhood trauma. Well, toxic childhood wounds from our relationships with our caregivers can show up in a lot of ways. So emotional needs not being met, controlling or overprotective and neglective parents and caregivers, obviously abuse, witnessing trauma, that's a big one. Anywhere where you had an experience where you were lacking support or validation, or something that caused you to be in a high stress situation. So basically any event where you felt scared, helpless, horrified, or overwhelmed. And according to Dr. Lori Lawrence, who's a psychologist, child trauma can impact relationships because we learn emotional bonds early in life. So when people we depend on for survival hurt us or aren't present for us when we need them to be, it impacts how we view human connection. And this is so, so relevant to what happens as we then carry this forward into our adult life and into our relationships. So thank you so much for being here today. This is a continuation from last week's topic on toxic relationships. And today we'll be speaking again with Joe Petrosky around toxic childhood wounds with our caregivers and how we can deal with that. So thank you for being here, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Today we have Joe Petrosky back with us again. So I'm excited that he's here. We're going to be continuing our conversation about toxic relationships. And for those of you who missed last week's episode, I would love for you to go back and give it a listen. But just since you're here right now, let me just tell you a little bit about Joe and who he is. Joe is a psychic. He is an amazing energy healer. And he actually discovered his gifts after overcoming certain death, which I wanted to talk about, but we never brought that up last week. We might have to talk about that today too. Joe has trained with a Shaolin master that actually saved his life. And he's been invited to be part of many Native American ceremonies, which is super cool. Joe's ability to connect with spirit and to see your complete energy field really helps him facilitate extraordinary healings and effective coaching for people. He can see your subconscious mind and your strengths, as well as what's blocking you, and provide you with quick and amazing positive results and changes in all areas of your life. Now, Joe's been coaching people for over 20 years, and his clients attest to feeling the greatest sense of health, freedom, ease, joy, and more self-love than they have ever felt. And they state their lives are enjoyable and much more prosperous since working with him. And then he also eliminates pain, illness, allergies, migraines,
traumas, and much, much more. So, Joe, welcome back. I'm excited to have you back today. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. This is going to be fun. I look forward to it. Last time
Yeah.
was a well, last time was a ball.
Awesome. So before we get into the whole toxic relationship things, I want to hear about this story. Tell me your story about what happened with this whole near-death thing.
So in 1999, the doctors actually sent me home to die. They had been working with me for over 6.5 years. They had nearly an inch and a half worth of paperwork from medical tests proving that my body was killing itself. And so I was working with two different doctors at the time, and they both came to the same conclusion within a week of each other that there was one more treatment that they could try, but if it didn't work, it would kill me. And so they both said, just like, Joe, we've done everything that we can for you. You are going to die. It's going to be relatively soon. You will be dead within the year, and you need to go home and get your affairs in order. And you need to also become prepared for the fact that you may take your own life because it's going to get that bad. It's going to get that painful and that horrible. And it got to that point. I actually was ready to do that. And it was the intervention of a friend of mine that I called her up. She had made a pact with me. I was in a support group for people with chronic illness. And she says, Joe, we all know that you're the next to die. And so I want you to promise me that you will call me before you kill yourself. If it comes to that. And she goes, I won't try and talk you out of it. I just want to be able to talk with you and be able to explain to your daughter, how you were and what was going on. And so I called her up and I said, I says, it's come to that. And because one of the things that would happen with this illness is it would cut the blood flow off to a certain part of my brain. And I would say horrible, disgusting things to people that I loved and appreciated. And I wouldn't know that I did it. And I would offend everybody. Then on top of it, what would happen is when this happened, is as I would lose the ability to see. I could see, but I couldn't tell you what I was seeing. Like there was no way that I would be able to tell you that you were a human being, much less a woman. And with the background and everything like that, I couldn't tell you that there was crystals or that there was a painting. I couldn't tell you any of that. And so it was a very, very scary illness. And luckily, she read from this book 13 lines. And so I called up one of my doctors and I says, I need to come in. And so they found out that the blood flow was definitely getting cut off to a certain part of my brain. And that's what caused all this, which was good because when I was young, I was beat extensively and I was screamed and yelled at. And I was, why can't you be like everybody else? You're defective, you're broken. And I was told that there was something wrong with me my whole life. And so when I got this illness, I was thinking, shit, maybe my dad was right. And so when I found out that no, it was the blood flow that was getting cut off that made me do this, I no longer just wanted to take my life. And so luckily, about a year later, not even that long, I met the Shaolin master and I went to him and his students. And after the second hour, I was off the oxygen. And after the third, I was completely healthy. And he had said, you can do this too. And I looked at him and was like, what are you talking about? And with his eyes, I could see that he was earnest, that he was really meaning that I could. And I could feel it. And so I studied with him for 3.5 years. And at that point, I had become one of his best teachers. And he had given me the master's certification in Chinese energy healing. And then after 2 more years of working with him on and off, he says, hey, Joe, you're doing differently than I taught you. You need to go teach what you're doing. And he says, I give you the blessings to go do that. And then also, like you had mentioned, I sat with Native Americans, and there was an elder that took me under his wing. And when I would sit with this man, we wouldn't talk. He was very empathetic. He would just look and he would feel the energy in the plants, the trees, the waters, the rocks. And as he felt that energy, I began to feel it too. And that's when everything opened up. Creator, it was amazing. That's when the healings really became profound. And yeah, I didn't know I had these psychic gifts, but I can see the best about you. I can see the blocks that you have. And I'm able to help people support them in the process of healing. It comes from Creator, not me, but I can support them and be the conduit to eliminate
serious illnesses, things that they've been told are permanent. And with the coaching, I can see the subconscious and I can see the blocks and I can see how to overcome those. So that's me in a nutshell, you know.
Wow. Always thought my experience was kind of crazy. That is powerful. Holy cow. I'm gonna have to hit you up on the side one of these days too, because that
Okay.
is fascinating. That's amazing. And knowing that, wow, it makes so much sense when I think about, your experience with your history, some of what you mentioned, your childhood. And that's actually just is a if you don't mind talking about that, is a great way to transition to what I want to talk about today,
Sure.
which is really those toxic things we get from our caregivers and how those wounds that we receive as children. Now, it doesn't have to be as extreme as what you went through, but there's a lot of range of what creates trauma in the body and in the mind and in the subconscious and the nervous system that, so there's a broad spectrum of that. I don't want people to believe that, oh, I wasn't abused, so therefore I don't have trauma. That's not true. But with your experience, that gives you very unique insight into not only, what happens as a result of, those wounds that we receive as children in those toxic caregiver situations, but then I also want to talk about how we manage that as an adult with our relationships. So, kind of picking up from last week's episode, where we're continuing on this conversation about patterns. And like I said, these are patterns that end up being instilled and programmed in our nervous system and subconscious as a result of the wounds. So, in your opinion, what does a toxic childhood look like? Because, like I said, it isn't always as clear cut as emotional and physical abuse.
When we look at it, there's a whole thing in they talk about if it wasn't nurturing, it was abuse. And I thought, God, that's pretty heavy. But in reality, what it is, for example, if a child needs attention, and for example, there's somebody that I'm working with right now, and he is 7 out of 8. Okay. And so by the time he came around, there wasn't a lot of attention to be given. And the attention that he got was from his other siblings because, mom was too busy and dad, came home, went to bed, after work. And so he didn't get the attention. And so what I tell people is that no matter how much our parents loved us, they were inconsistent with their love. When we really needed it at times, we didn't get it. And so, sometimes it was their fault, because they were just abusive people. Sometimes they were overwhelmed. It doesn't really matter. We don't need to blame them. That's not what this is about. But we have to understand what did I lack? Okay. What were the things that I needed that weren't there? And we're all going to have patterns that are going to be instilled us, and everybody's going to have different patterns. And, but, very often, when we see people and, they always attract the narcissist. Well, one of their parents was probably that way. But a lot of times, narcissist shows up as somebody, I cannot meet your needs. And so I'm going to meet my needs. And even though my needs might be really, really basic. And so what ends up happening is when you fall down and injure, you scrape your knee, or you fall off the slide or the swing and you're panicking and you go to mom and mom can't handle it. Okay. So what ends up happening is then in the adult life, this person goes and gets in relationships with people that are emotionally unavailable or where only their needs matter. And they don't have the time and the space for their partner to be able to see it. And so we fall into those repetitive patterns. So does that make sense?
Yes, 100%, a million percent, because I've seen it too. And that's it. It's so fascinating to me because, that's the other thing too, because not only from my own experience, my own personal experience, but that of the some of the clients I've dealt with too. These toxic wounds cause us to learn these things. Like love is conditional, and you can't be authentic. You have to hide your feelings. All these messages that we interpret, and maybe our parents, I believe truly a lot of times are doing the best they can, but they're dealing with their own stuff that they were taught. So it's a generational thing. And a lot of times the messages we interpret as children weren't overt. It's the subtle meaning behind the action, you know? So emotional connection to others isn't safe. What you do isn't good enough. You deserve to be treated badly, you know, because there's something inherently wrong with you, amongst a myriad of other things. So what are your thoughts on how these beliefs really show up and impact our relationships?
Well, they're always going to show up. And what I tell people is, you know, they're going to be in disbelief. I mean, we've talked about this where our clients basically, it's like, nah, you know, and so I'll ask them, it's like, okay, so, you know, the abandonment or the betrayal or the gaslighting that you experience in relationships, you know, have you experienced this in previous relationships? And they'll look at it and it's just like, well, yeah. You know, and sometimes they'll, you know, kind of be cocky and they're going to be like, no, my last relationship, there wasn't any of that. And it's like, okay, well, what about their two relationships before that? And they'll see that they have the same patterns. And so for me, for example, I was in a fantastic relationship. We loved each other like crazy until she would do these small things where she would abandon me or betray me. And, you know, and but for me, I was the overserver, the overgiver. If I gave you, gave, you know, you might love me, you know? And so
that
I continued. Yeah. So I continued to fight for the relationship where I should have left, you know? I mean, for God's sakes, you know, we were in bed one time, you know, we had spent the whole weekend in bed, literally, you know, we got out of bed for pizza, you know? And so the phone rings and it's her daughter and she, you know, and we're still naked with each other. And she goes, I'm at my girlfriend's house. I spent the weekend with my girlfriend. And I'm just like, and I took it and I was like, shit, you know? And it's like, here we are. We had this really romantic off the top, just incredible weekend. It was so fun. Everything about it was, and then all of a sudden, you know, it was just popped. And I should have said, what the fuck? You know, what the hell, you know, what's going on? You know, why couldn't you acknowledge that you were with me?
Yeah.
And those kinds of betrayal and abandonment happened time after time after time, you know, and, you know, I'd be on the way over to, you know, her house for, you know, Sunday dinner. And I would usually eat like an hour, hour and a half before them. They like to eat late. And I'm, you know, so she knew that. And I was 10 minutes from the house and she knew when I was going to be. And she goes, you know, the kids don't want you to be here. So you can't come. And I'm just like, you have the engagement ring? It was just like, you know, and but I would take shit like that. And so finally, after 5.5 years, I end it and I'm looking and I'm crying and crying and crying. I'm like, what the heck, man? You're the one that called it. You're the one that said you wanted to stop. You didn't want to be in this chaos. You didn't want to be in this abandonment. What the hell are you crying about? And I looked and I was like, and I felt this pain and I felt the pain. And I was like, I felt this before. And I looked and it's just like my previous most significant relationship, my ex-wife, was the exact same way. My very first true love was the exact same way. And I'm just like, son of a gun. And I looked and it's just like, whoa, my mom was the same way. My mom loved me like crazy until she abandoned me. She loved me like crazy until she betrayed me. My dad worked on the road. And when my dad, when we were alone, I did everything with her. I went shopping. I folded clothes. I cooked. I went to tea with her and her girlfriends. I mean, we were inseparable. And then when my dad came home, it was like I didn't exist. She wouldn't talk with me. She wouldn't spend time with me. You know, when it was bedtime, you know, I would usually cuddle up with and sit and watch TV with her. And my dad wasn't okay with that. And so I couldn't even do that. And so I looked and I saw that my taking shit from people that would abandon me and betray me, that's where it began. And so that's what I needed to heal. I needed to heal that love that I didn't get from that. And when I started to see that, I looked in relationships and I was like, shit, it wasn't just romantic relationships. It was friendships, you know, business relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage people, look at your relationships. What are the things that suck in your relationship? Even if you have, quote unquote, a good relationship, you know, you're married, you know, living together, whatever the hell. If you're with somebody, what are the things that you don't really like? What are the things that hurt you, that make you mad, that make you sad? Look at those and then see, it's like, has this happened before? Has this happened in previous relationships? And you're going to find that it has. And we need, I tell people, look and go back to that original wound. When was it? Was it your mom? Was it your dad? Was it a different caregiver? Look at that. And when you look at that, it's all going to make sense. And we have to have the courage to be able to say no. And so when we're in different relationships, and we notice, you know, for me, the betrayal and the abandonment, I have to say, hey, you know, this is what I heard, this is what I felt. And, you know, and then whatever it is that I feel, am I uncomfortable? Am I mad? Am I confused? Did they mean it the way that I saw it and felt it? Because it's up to me. We treat, or we teach other people how to treat us.
Treat us 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when we're aware of that, then we can have the safety. And Pierre Chardin wrote way back that freedom and safety are most clearly freedom and safety are most clearly felt when boundaries are most clearly defined. And so when we create the boundaries and we know them and our people know them, we're going to feel free and we're going to feel safe. But if we don't have those boundaries, it's going to be, you know, walking on landmines or eggshells, however you want to call it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. And I know, I mean, that's essentially what you just surmised is the bulk of the work that I do myself, because it's the same thing. And I had those similar experiences. I grew up in a household where perfection was appreciated. You know, that was given value to when you got the straight A's, when you looked a certain way. And my father in particular was very fat phobic, which he clearly learned from his parents, because my grandmother was the same way. So when I was little, I would hear things like, you should stop eating. You're gaining weight. My grandmother, who wouldn't see me for a year, the first thing out of her mouth wouldn't be, hi, so happy to see you. I'm so glad to see you. It'd be like, oh my God, you've gotten fat. You know, and when you're 5, 6, 7 years old,
no kidding,
that's imprints, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I started with an eating disorder when I was 11. And then that progressed intermittently into my 30s. But the relationships that I was in continually again and again, and it took a lot of introspection. It took a lot of work to sit there and look at, where did this come from? Mm-hmm. Is this my belief? Why do I believe this? Where, what was the origination of this story that I'm telling myself about not being good enough and not being worthy of love, and it being okay for my needs not to be met at the expense of other people's? Because I learned it was much more important to keep everyone else around me happy than myself. And that showed up in all my relationships. So what happened? All my relationships ended up with patterns of me being super taken advantage of, whether it was financially, sexually, you know, just a variety of things. But that was all patterns from those core things I learned. Right. So it happens to everyone. And this is what I keep always trying to tell people, is that you have to look at the inner wound. All of us have them. We all have them in one way, shape, form, or another. And that's what's affecting the pattern in your relationships. So, you know, these beliefs and things that get imprinted right in our nervous system as a program says, you know, no one listens to me. I don't matter. You know, that was my thing. I don't matter. And I'm only loved if I don't have any needs. So what strategies do you suggest, like what has worked for your clients? What have you implemented in your own life that's helped people kind of unlearn these toxic lessons?
What I look at is what happened, you know? And so I looked at the fact that, you know, one of the things that I had done is there's a great book called Strength Finder 2.0. Strength Finder 2.0. And after the breakup, after I got the ring back in a paper bag, you know, I took this test. It's basically in the back of this book. I never read the book, but I took it and I looked at these things. And, you know, two of my main strengths is I'm a believer and I'm a relator. Okay. And so what it is when I get to know people, I want to find out what you believe, what you think. And I like to talk about what your inner beliefs are, your inner feelings. And the relators are the same kind of thing. I'm going to find out things about you and I'm going to learn how to relate with you and, you know, compare, you know, similar things and, you know, dissimilar things and, you know, build connection. Those are two of my best things. While in the relationship, my best things were made to be weaknesses. And so the fact that I cared about what people thought was made, you know, I literally what happened is I became too needy. And I really did. I became too needy. And so what I ask people to do is, you know, really be honest. What do you want to say?
Oh, no, no, no. I was just going to say, I could totally relate to that. You know, okay. Please, please, please just love me. Somebody, you know, please just love me, you know, and I need to know, I need the verification. I need the validation, you know, all the things.
Oh yeah. You know, here I am, you know, after this incredible weekend, and she says she's with, you know, I'm in her arms, and she says she's at her girlfriend's house. I was clamoring to still be loved. And it's just like, I should have said, whoa, what the hell, you know?
Right.
But so what I ask people to do is to really get honest and, you know, what is it? Where did you lose yourself? And people aren't usually going to know on that. That's where you and I come in and we help them understand where they lost themselves. But I'll ask them, it's like, what were the things that hurt? You know, what were the things that happened? And even then, what I'll do is I'll have them, it's like, okay, so when you were a kid, when did they happen? And when people say, oh, I had a great childhood, you know, and everything was good. And my dad, you know, and it's just like, okay, let's get the jackhammer.
Scroll that back a little bit. Yeah,
let's get the jackhammer and the pick and shovel, because we're going to have to do a lot of digging here.
Right? So true.
And whenever somebody says, I had a great childhood, I'm just like, oh shit, you know? But that's something where it's like, okay, so you believe that it was great and you believe this abusive relationship was also great. You know, and so let's look at that. Why did you believe that this abusive relationship, you know, was good? And because I'm dealing with this fella from upstate New York, and you know, listening, and everything about it was great. And I'm just like, God Almighty, the abandonment and the betrayal from this woman was huge. You know, and he's ready to go on, you know, this romantic week that he has planned in Europe. And he gets a phone call and she says, I'm not coming. And I'm just like, ooh. And you took her back. You know, I'm just like, so you went to Europe, you know, and, you know, you learned really, really quickly that, you know, it was pretty damn hard to find a Kleenex in Europe. And you had to, you know, grab toilet paper so you could cry into it all day. And you were going to all these places that you wanted to show her. And, you know, and you were just filleted and decimated, but yet you took her back. And it's like, where did you believe that when somebody shit on you, that you needed to be different? You know, why did somebody else's problems become your responsibility? And so I ask, and it's like, you know, where did you experience this before? You know, how did you feel this before? And when they can look at that, then they can make the changes. But if you're not willing to look at it, we have to look. It's like, you know, so for you and me, you know, we would give and give and give. And so that was my thing. It's like, okay, when I started to realize I'm actually doing something and I really am not jonesing to do this, I'm really not wanting to do this, but I'm doing it anyways. And I would look and it's just like, okay, is this something that needs to be done? Because you know what it's like. I mean, you get ready for hurricane season and it's like, well, that shit needs to be done. Okay. So you just do it. But there's other things where it's just like, okay, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to be pressure spraying, you know, her screened enclosure, you know? And it's just like, no, the only reason I'm pressure spraying her enclosure is because I'm hoping that she's going to like me, you know? And so for me, I had to watch and realize, when was I giving in order to receive, you know? And then look at the other part too. Look at, you know, how I lied to myself. I'm okay. It's okay. I was like, really? If anybody else would have said, yeah, I spent the whole weekend with my girlfriend and then her kid called up and, you know, she lied. I'm just like, I would have said, what the hell, dude? But for me, it was just like, whatever, whatever. And so I ask people, we have to be willing to be really rigorously honest and to look at it. And a lot of times, people aren't used to it, because when we're kids, we have to lie to ourselves. And that's how we get so fucked up. I mean, you know, I mean, and I would use a stronger word if there's a word that I could figure it out. Because when we're hurt and we need attention, or we're hurt and we need love and it's not there, what ends up happening is we, as these little kids, are thinking, okay, mom and dad, they're queen and king. And so they're the rulers, and they're telling me I'm wrong and bad because I was crying when I fell off the swing, you know, or I woke up in the middle of the night and I was sick, and they were perturbed by it. And so we would go in and we would start to doubt ourselves. We would start to question ourselves, and we started to believe that we weren't good enough, that we were wrong, that there was something. And so we have to be willing to look at that and really dig in. And where did I believe that I wasn't good enough, that I had to, you know, that I had to give in order to get, you know, because, you know, you and I, the same kind of thing, you know, for me, the relationships and everything like that. And it's like, receive? What do you mean receive? I didn't know that was in the gig. You know, I thought I was supposed, you know, I thought I was just supposed to be the pleaser and, you know, make sure everybody was happy.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like, I get a turn, really? You know,
yeah, I get a turn. I love that. Yeah. Yeah, it's so, it's really blows your mind when you think, I've had not even looking at some of the people I've worked with, but just within my own self, the amount of, and I, you know, I can look back and I'd be like, my parents were great. My parents loved me. I knew my parents loved me. I didn't, you know, they weren't exceptionally verbally abusive. They didn't beat me or any of that stuff. But I look back at some of the scars that I have because of what I believed. And that's what I was trying to explain to people, that it can be one instance, one instance when you didn't get your needs met and you learned something else. You learned a way of beingness because of that situation. And then that colors the rest of your life. And it affects everything. And like you said, not just romantic relationships, your business relationships, your friendships, every single thing. And I think so many people who walk around who are miserable in their relationships don't realize that this is going to keep happening to them. It's going to keep happening until they start working on those inner beliefs and those inner wounds. So moving on to the next thing I wanted to mention before we kind of wrap things up, but it's been proven, and I know you know this, we were just talking about it, that wounded adults who experience toxicity in childhood then seek out that caregiver in a romantic partner. So they kind of are looking to seek to fix or to heal that wound that didn't get addressed as a child. So hence the phrase, you know, like, oh, she married her father or he married his mother. Yeah. We do this in an attempt to discharge that stress cycle from wanting a different outcome. And along with that longing and the pain that's associated with it. So that being said, I know that a lot of your work is focused on helping people heal. So what kind of coping strategies do you recommend to my listeners if they discover themselves in a situation where they're now kind of reliving this toxicity in their relationship before they go seek out a coach like you or I or somebody to help them work through that?
Well, the first thing is just really be aware of it. When you look, and it's, you know, we'll have it and say, holy shit, you know, that's something my dad would have said, or that's something my mom would have said. When we see that, we just basically, we just got to stop the train. It's like, okay, hold on a second. We're not going any further here. Let's look at this. And because these are huge red flags and people think, oh, it was no big deal. And it's just like, okay, well, let's look at this. Do you really want to marry your mother? Do you really want to marry your father? You know, if you do, well, then cool. It wasn't a red flag. But if you're seeing something and it reminds you of your mother or your father, you got to say, okay, hold on a second. And because awareness is the first thing. And then what we look at is like, okay, so I'm hearing this woman say something about me and she's judging me and she's saying I'm not good enough. Okay, my dad, my whole life said that I wasn't good enough. Okay, cool. You know, is this what you want? You know, and if it's not, you know, you got to be able to address it. And so you can look at the person and say, hey, you know, this is what I heard, you know, and it's like, well, you know, and then you can gauge their reaction. But we have to look and see, and this is the whole thing about preferences. We get to have preferences and we get to have desires. If we don't have preferences and desires, we're going to accept the, you know, whatever. We're going to accept the nearest warm body. You know, it was crazy last night, last person that I was working with, you know, mid to, you know, high six figures. Very, very accomplished. She's the one that's on the podium, you know, at the conferences and everything like that. Very well looked up to. And I'm just sitting there and I'm looking, and it's like the guys that she takes, you know, and, but what it is, well, I need to know that I need to improve myself. I need, you know, I want to improve myself. And so it's good that he, you know, and I'm just like, okay, so you're really okay with the fact that he's saying that, you know, your legs aren't, you know, the shape that he wants them to be, you know, or you're really, you know, okay with the fact that, you know, he's always talking to you about your ass. And so you're on the treadmill, you know, before you go to work, you're on the Stairmaster, you know, when you come home, and at work, you take the, you know, the stairs, you don't take the elevator. Is this really what you want? Is it, and when he touches your ass, do you feel like, oh, this is wonderful? Or do you go, oh shit, I didn't work out enough, you know? And so we have to be able to allow ourselves to say, this is not my desire, and this is actually an ouch. And we have to be able to say that this is an ouch, this is uncomfortable. And if we don't approach it, you know, I mean, you and I talked about this last time, I think, where the check engine light is on the car, we're going to check it out. But when the check engine light comes on in my heart and my soul, we ignore it, you know? And so I ask people, you know, what are your desires for how you want to feel? What are your desires, you know, in the openness and the communication and the touch, you know? And what's your preferences? What's your desires and what's your preferences? And if this is against your desires and preferences, you get to say, you know, no, you get to say, I'm done, I'm out, all of that.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, because that's what I find so often. Well, because it's what I used to do. You know, you tolerate certain things because you're so needy and wanting to be loved and needing mm-hmm. that validation because you're not getting it from within. So mm-hmm. you're constantly willing to make sacrifices and mm-hmm. you end up, you know, giving yourself away. Like you were talking about losing yourself because you're essentially giving all your will and signing it over to that other person and be like, okay, here, you know, you can dictate how I live my life. You can dictate my body. You can dictate what's okay with me, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and you're accepting it. It goes so much beyond settling, you know, mm-hmm. because, and then, especially when it gets into like your values and your core beliefs and things like that, that are things that make up who you are, but you're so willing to give that away to have that relationship, to have that, oh, as long as I have somebody that validates me, makes me feel like I'm loved because I'm in this relationship, it doesn't matter. I'll take what I can get. And mm-hmm. that used to be me, 100% mm-hmm. used to be me. So yeah. So I greatly value everything that you brought forward today. And I think it's really impactful when it comes to my listeners and the people who follow my content and who have worked with me. And I would love to share just your contact information with them in case they need to get a hold of you, if they resonate with you and they want to work with you, because I know you're doing incredible work. So I know you have a phone number. Your email is profoundpowerjoe.
Yeah, profoundpowerjoe@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And the phone number is 651-755-6027. And it's a business phone number. They can, you know, leave a message there and the email, they can send stuff, and but I'm much easier reached by phone. And I appreciate this. I appreciate the fact that, you know, we're having these discussions and we're letting people just investigate for a little bit. Because too often people, they're just like, well, I'm just feeling this way, or I'm too sensitive, or those kinds of things. And it's just like, well, here we have you, you know, the successful woman, you know, and, you know, you're a coach and all these kinds of things. And you have the psychological background and you're saying, that was me, here I am, you know, saying, you know,
well, that for sure.
Yeah. You know, and here I am saying the same thing. Yeah. You know, it wasn't, you know, that long ago that I got the diamond ring back, you know? Yep. And so I think that we owe it to people to share both our successes and our failures. Because when, you know, we see it, you know, when Wayne Dyer was talking about the fact that, you know, he was a great speaker, and he says, but don't look at me for fatherhood. He says, I've not been very good as a father, you know? And he says, I'm definitely not good as a husband, you know? And, you know, when people hear that, it's just like, wow, we can look at this and we can learn, and we're not alone. And so thanks for the, you know, the platform here for us to be able to reach out to people. It's cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. This is my Listen, this is absolutely 100% my mission, is to help people realize that they don't have to believe in their unworthiness. They don't have to believe it because it's not true. It's not true. It's something that was learned. And because it stayed, that unworthiness feeling stayed with me so much of my life and had so deep, such a deep impact in everything. Being on the other side of that, and I'm not perfect, right? I'm not perfect. You know, I still work on my, we all are always a work in progress, but being at least on the other side of that, to be able to say, I don't have to accept this. I don't have to live like this. I have choices. I have preferences. I am my own person. And that is, has value. I have value as a person. I don't have to like give everything away to somebody else just to get back validation. It is the freedom that comes with that, relationship or not, just the individual sense of, oh, okay, I'm all right. Okay, I'm good. I am a divine creation and I'm good regardless of anything else. So, I mean, I get emotional. I get emotional talking about it because it really is. I mean, that feeling, there's nothing else like it. And everybody deserves that. Everyone deserves to feel like that because it's true. It's true. Yeah. And so thank you. It has been such a pleasure and an honor having you here. I think your work is incredible. People, please reach out to Joe if he's resonating with you. If you feel like, you know, there are some things that he can help you with 100%, I say call him. And if you have any questions, you know, reach out to me. It's info@TanyaAlberti.com. I'm happy to help that way. Or if I can't help you, direct you to somebody who can. But please, above all else, know that you are worthy and deserving of love. You do not have to tolerate anything like this bad behavior that we're talking about, this toxicity. So that being said, we will see you next week. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so very much for listening to today's episode. If you found this conversation to be helpful at all, please make sure you leave a review. Put it in Spotify or iTunes. That way I know that what I'm sharing is helping you and I can continue to keep the good things that you're interested in coming your way. If you aren't already following me on social media, I would love for you to come follow me on Instagram. It's @IAM_TanyaAlberti. I share all kinds of things there daily, from everything from developing your intuition to connecting with your guidance to manifesting tips, how to call in relationships, all of the good things. So give me a follow there. Otherwise, you can also find me at www.TanyaAlberti.com at my website. And I just want to say thank you so much. Much love to you. I can't wait to see you again in the next episode. And meanwhile, just remember that if you have a desire in your heart, it is meant for you. And your true love, your soulmate, is out there waiting. Have an amazing, amazing day. Much love.